Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Joshua, Joshua chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Verses 1 through 9, Joshua chapter 1. Reading verse 9 once again. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Then looking in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, verses 1 to 12. Hebrews 11, verses 1 to 12. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtain a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death and was not found, because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Verses 1 through 12, Hebrews chapter 11. Lord, thank you for the blessing that is ours when we take time to read and meditate on your word daily, and thus spend time one-on-one with you as you speak words of life, words of guidance, blessing, empowerment, and encouragement into our hearts, our minds, our lives. Lord, your word is a gift to us in so many ways. And amongst other things, it is a book of faith and a book that teaches us how to live by faith and a book that empowers our prayer life. Father, you are the author and the finisher of our faith. More and more, help us to live in such a way that our faith literally grows daily, and help us to put that faith to work daily on a regular basis for your glory. We thank you and we praise you. More and more, Father, anoint us afresh today with a spirit of boldness in the way we hear and obey your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He is going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for your Holy Spirit. Thank you so much for empowering us. Thank you so much for teaching us. Thank you so much for revealing yourself to us. Father, I ask that today, as we look to your scriptures, as we look to your word, that we'd be open-minded, that our hearts would be open to getting to know who you truly are. And Father, I ask that our lives would respond in action to your character. Father, your scripture says that we love because you first loved us. And so, Father, I ask that that would be enacted in these moments. Thank you so much, Father. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We're continuing to invite you to give us a call to share your listener testimonies. We're just a few weeks away from our spring share-a-thon, and we're hoping to hear from many of those that are, we've heard from some, and we are grateful for all those we've heard from, but we're hoping to hear from more that will, persons that will call in to share your listener testimony, just sharing how the Lord has used American Family Radio in your life, how the Holy Spirit has reached through this radio network to encourage you in your daily walk with the Lord, to encourage you in your personal Bible study and prayer life, to encourage you in the way you help to disciple your family. We'd like to hear your AFR story. It may be of great blessing and encouragement to many others, and you just may hear that testimony during our spring share-a-thon a few weeks away. The number to call to share that list of testimony for you to call and share a minute or two, 1-877-876-8893. Again, that's 1-877-876-8893. And as always, we do appreciate that you're tuning in to the Hour of Intercession. And on yesterday, we looked at the topic, the obedience of faith. And so we're picking up basically where we left off in sharing, continuing to share on the topic, the obedience of faith, part two. And let me say this, a very important truth to be mindful of is that for every believer, listening to God and obeying him is very, very important. That's a huge part of the life of each of us as disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're called to diligently listen to God and diligently obey him. I read from Joshua chapter 1 a few moments ago. That chapter is about boldly obeying God. Boldly listening and obeying God. And of course, every believer is called to boldly listen and boldly obey God as well. So Joshua chapter 1 is also another great chapter to read often because it's a wonderful reminder of how we can live a victorious Christian life, boldly hearing God's word and boldly obeying God's word. But for every believer, a critical part of each of our lives certainly is that of listening much to the word of God and the Holy Spirit and obeying what he calls us to do. And Isaac is going to be chiming in today, sharing some insights and thoughts as well. And hope that you'll take time to go back and read through all the passages that we've shared. We started out sharing, of course, from Joshua chapter 1 and Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 12. Keep in mind, on an ongoing basis, my encouragement to you is read Hebrews chapter 11 often as well, because it's maybe referred to often as the faith chapter, but it has lessons about individuals in Scripture, all of whom walk by faith and God used them to do exploits, to do mighty things. And you and I can learn important faith lessons from every person mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11. We can learn lessons about how to grow and how to grow in faith and how to apply our faith more and more. Looking with me, we invite you to look with us in the book of Judges chapter 7, picking up at verse 1. It tells us these words. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose early and encamped between the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them, by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, the same shall go with you. And of whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you, the same shall not go. Verses 1 to 4, Judges chapter 7. Now keep in mind, in the book of Judges, Gideon is a unique character in many ways. We're more or less introduced to Gideon in Judges chapter 6, where God approaches him as he's threshing at the threshing floor, doing it fearfully and in hiding because the Midianites and other foreigners would come and overrun the land and just destroy the crops of the Israelites and just being troublemakers and difficult towards the children of Israel. And Israel, time and time again in the book of Judges, they would go through a cycle of sinning and then trouble would come. God would allow a judgment to come. And then people would cry out after they saw the judgment come. And God in his mercy would provide a way for them to be saved and delivered from their enemies. And then there may be a time of rest. And then the cycle would seem to continue again. Well, sin leads to bondage and servitude. Well, Israel was going through a tough time with their foreigners attacking them. And so an angel approaches Gideon and refers to him as a mighty man of valor. In other words, a great man, you might say, great courageous servant. Gideon was probably thinking to himself, who in the world are you talking to? Because Gideon saw himself as a little man that really couldn't do much. But God saw great things in Gideon as Gideon would simply hear God, trust him, and obey him. And so in chapter 7, we see where Gideon has gone through a series of opportunities to listen to God and be encouraged by him. And now in chapter 7, 32,000 men have gathered to help Gideon to come against the enemies who've come and attacked their land. But God lets Gideon know, Gideon, you have too many men. And Gideon basically is under the direction of the Lord, lets the people know, anyone who's afraid, you can go home. And so of the 32,000, 22,000 go home. Well, now Gideon has 10,000 men left. But God lets Gideon know, Gideon, you still have too many. In other words, one of the issues was Israel with that many soldiers would have decided, well, we did it by our own strength. God wanted them to know that it's by God's hand that real deliverance comes. And so they have 10,000, and God basically gives Gideon further direction. They're directed to go down to the brook, and they have another test, picking up at verse 5. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps from the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink. And the number of those who lapped putting their hand to their mouth was 300 men, but all the rest of the people got down on their knees to drink water. Then the Lord said to Gideon, by the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and deliver the Midianites into your hand. Let all the other people go, every man to his place. Verses 1 through 7, Judges chapter 7. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession, as today we're looking once again at the topic, The Obedience of Faith, Part 2. We'll be right back.
You're the light in this darkness. You're the hope to the hopeless. You're the peace to the restless. You are. There is no one like our God. There is no one like our God. For greater things have yet to come, and greater things are still to be done in this city.
Music from Passion with God of This City. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, The Obedience of Faith, Part 2, and looking in the book of Judges, Judges chapter 7. I'm going to start over once again. Judges chapter 7, starting at verse 1. So Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and his army got up early and went as far as the spring of Herod. The armies of Midian were camped north of them in the city near the hill of Moreh. The Lord said to Gideon, "You have too many warriors with you. If I let all of you fight the Midianites, the Israelites will boast to me that they saved themselves by their own strength. Therefore tell the people, whoever is timid or afraid may leave this mountain and go home." So 22,000 of them went home, leaving only 10,000 who were willing to fight. But the Lord told Gideon, "There are still too many. Bring them down to the spring, and I will test them to determine who will go with me and who will not." When Gideon took his warriors down to the water, the Lord told him, "Divide the men into two groups. In one group, put all those who cup water in their hands and lap it up with their tongues like dogs. In the other group, put all those who kneel down and drink with their mouths in the stream." Only 300 of the men drank from their hands. All the others got down on their knees and drank with their mouths in the stream. The Lord told Gideon, "With these 300 men, I will rescue you and give you victory over the Midianites. Send all the others home." So Gideon collected the provisions and ram's horns of the other warriors and sent them home, but he kept the 300 men with him. Then skipping down to verse 15, when Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he bowed in worship before the Lord. Then he returned to the Israelite camp and shouted, "Get up, for the Lord has given you victory over the Midianite hordes." He divided the 300 men into three groups and gave each man a ram's horn and a clay jar with a torch in it. Then he said to them, "Keep your eyes on me. When I come to the edge of the camp, just do as I do. As soon as I and those with me blow the ram's horns, blow your horns too all around the entire camp and shout, 'For the Lord and for the Lord and for Gideon.'" It was just after midnight, after the changing of the guard, when Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the Midianite camp. Suddenly they blew the ram's horns and broke their clay jars. Then all three groups blew their horns and broke their jars. They held the blazing torches in their left hands and the horns in their right hands, and they all shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Each man stood at his position around the camp and watched as all the Midianites rushed around in a panic, shouting as they ran to escape. When the 300 Israelites blew their ram's horns, the Lord caused the warriors in the camp to fight each other with their swords. Those who were not killed fled to places far away as Beth Shittah near Zerarah and to the border of Abel Meholah near Tabith. Verses 1 through 22, Judges chapter 7. Just in summary, of course, again, Gideon starts out with 32,000 men. Then they're narrowed down to 10,000. Then it was narrowed all the way down to 300. And God lets Gideon know he would bring victory through the 300, and they have a unique strategy whereby they have torches in clay jars, and they were to blow trumpets at a certain point in time. And of course, they've surrounded, the 300 men have surrounded the enemy camp. When they blow the trumpets and break the jars with torches inside, all of a sudden, the light shines through and the enemy is thrown into confusion. They start killing each other and then they run in panic and Israel has a great, great victory. What's one of the many important lessons from this story? God gave Gideon clear guidance and strategy as to how to win. Gideon heard God's word and obeyed it, and God brought about a great victory through Gideon. You and I are called to listen to God because God's word is his will, and God's will and his word is God's strategy, God's approach to all of life. We're to listen and obey. And that's how we learn to walk in victory, as we listen to God and obey. Remember, a big part of the life of faith is listening to God's word and obeying him. One of the great expressions of faith is obedience. Lord, anoint us afresh with the Spirit of grace. Empower us to be a people that are always listening to you, trusting you, and obeying you in every regard. Help us to know, Lord, that that's a huge part of what you've called every one of us to do. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Now, Isaac, you had some things on your heart that you wanted to share in relation to the topic that we're looking at again, the obedience of faith. Just if you'd like to go and share some of those insights now, please do.
Absolutely. So the emphasis on obedience. Some of our listeners might be wondering, well, how exactly does obedience play into faith? You know, it'd be really easy for us to say, well, I'm living a pretty good life. I believe in Jesus and, you know, I feel like I'm doing all right. So how much obedience do I really need to do? So I think looking from things from different perspectives can help us get a better picture of where we can grow to just be more mature. How can we look at things to do better? How can we look at things to become more holy and more like Jesus? So just to go back through the definition of faith real quick, Hebrews 11:1, faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. We read that a lot, but let's break that down real quick. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. So Gideon had a hope in something, and the way he approached God's commands was the evidence of that hope. So Gideon heard God say, you've got too many people, we've got to do it where everybody's going to give me credit because it's me that's going to win the battle. We've got to set things up where I'm going to win. So Gideon believed that the victory of the battle was God's. And his action and obedience was evidence that he believed the victory was God's.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The way he responded was the evidence that God was the power behind victory. And so, like, we have to have something that we can have faith in. What do we have faith in? Well, right there, Gideon had faith that you know, the victory belonged to God. But for us, you know, maybe you have a calling over your life. Maybe there's promises in Scripture that you need to read back through and start to believe in more. You know, we have faith that Jesus died on the cross for the forgiveness of our sins, that he sent his Holy Spirit to empower us, and that he's coming again. What is the evidence of these things that we can have faith in? So we've got some cultural differences here in how we talk about faith in action and how people in the Bible kind of talked about it. So there is an aspect where if you had something in your heart and it was never brought to fruition, it was never brought to action, there's not anything to show for it. There's no evidence about that. And it calls it therefore dead. So can we technically have faith and call it personal faith and not share it? Technically, but it's not good news if we have inside personal faith.
Well, you know, James beautifully addresses that in that, like, he says, faith without works is dead.
Absolutely.
In other words, it should be fleshed out through the life and the lifestyle we live, not just something we say it's in our heart. It's something we live on a daily basis. Yeah.
So you do have evidence that you believe in something, but the evidence is that you might believe in it, but that you don't believe in it enough to act on it.
And, you know, Isaac, that's huge because it's easy to say, well, I believe in Jesus. I believe in faith. I believe we're to be involved in evangelism. I believe we're to be people of prayer, people who read the word. But what are you doing with what you believe? A huge and a very important question.
And I think to kind of twist it to a more positive side, we can even do a little practice of trying to find things that we are being faithful in and trying to grow in that. So we can create some blanks in the definition of faith. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. So we can say blank shows I hope for blank. We can say the way I read scripture and try to have quiet time with the Father is evidence that I hope for even more relationship with the Father. Mm-hmm. The way that I pray and I do evangelism is the evidence that Jesus is coming again and that he loves us. Even though I don't see that yet, he's mm-hmm. not here yet, so I can't see him here in the second coming. But my action now in ministry is the evidence of the future hope that I have that I cannot see yet. Mm-hmm. And so as we do these things, like we're supposed to grow our faith. We have to start somewhere. Like, I can't go from being somebody who doesn't know God at all to living life like a disciple, you know, 0 to 100, unless God decides to do that. But instead, what we need to do is we need to, like, find out, Father, how much, like, where am I? Where am I in maturity? Where am I in walking with you? And Father, help me start there and grow there. There's a tendency for God to meet us where we are and then for us to call us beyond where we could ever imagine.
Mm. You know, and Isaac, I think it's so important for us to understand this too, that, like, again, as we're looking at the topic, the obedience of faith, again, obedience is simply one of the expressions of faith. We're to hear what God says and do it. And just like, again, in relation to what you just shared too, a person may say, well, I believe knowing Jesus is very important. I believe evangelism is very important. Well, if I believe it's important, am I involved with, for example, did I share my faith today? Did I ask God to send me along someone's path who I can share the gospel with today? Did I get gospel tracts and give them away? If I believe evangelism is important, I should be participating in it. But if I talk about how important it is, but I never get involved with sharing the gospel in any capacity, that's an indication that I'm being faithless. I talk about it, but my actions should reflect the reality of how important it is to me.
Now, it is a little bit of a tricky subject whenever you start tying faith to works, because, like, absolutely, faith needs works, but we can't work our way into heaven. We believe that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and then the after effect of that should be evidence in good works. So as we look to Jesus, who has saved us from our sins, we love because he first loved us. Mm-hmm. And I think that we need to be careful about how we talk about it, because it'd be really easy for us to talk about faith and say, you've got to have works, you got to have works, you got to have works. And then for us to say, okay, well, now I've got to be perfect and I've got to work my own faith out. I've got to make it fully perfect. No, our job is to first hear the word of God, second, believe it, third, walk in obedience, strengthened by God. So right there with the whole battle with Gideon, did he think that his army was going to win the battle, or did he think that God was going to win the battle? He thought God was going to win the battle, mm-hmm. but he still had to show up and fight.
Mm-hmm.
And so the exact same thing plays with us. It's not our job to win, to grow the fruit, to have the effects of faith happen. It's our job to show up and enact it. Mm-hmm. But we can't earn our way to heaven, and it's not us that wins the battle.
We have our part, and God has his part, and we can't do God's part. But our part is to believe. You could say, my job is to believe that God can do his job, and we're called to be God's vessels in a world whereby God reaches through his servants and his church and accomplishes his will. So, Lord, thank you for the fact that you've called every one of us to be diligent students of Scripture, diligent believers who listen to your Spirit, and diligent believers who live what we hear. Help us to be faithful hearers and doers of your word, and help us to know, Lord, that every day is a day to be diligently listening to you and diligently obeying you in every way. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, we're looking at the topic, the obedience of faith, part 2. And each of the passages we looked at, again, I would challenge every listener, go back and read through Hebrews 11, for example, and notice what we can listen and learn as it relates to each person and a faith lesson we can draw from their life in, as we look at how they heard God and obeyed God in their particular situation as well.
So this is kind of a little fun thought going off on a little tangent. So we talk about our hearts, our innermost being. In the Hebrew sense, it had a deeper mystery to it. It was kind of what's the deepest, most unknowable part of a man. So like the heart of the sea was what's the deepest, most unreachable, unknowable part of that. The nature of faith suggests that our innermost beings are fairly easy to find out, and that it's literally, how do you know the tree? You buy its fruit. Mm-hmm. That once you see the fruit of somebody's life, that is the evidence of what's inside of them. What's the evidence that the Holy Spirit is thriving within you? The fruit of the Holy Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, and the list goes on. Mm-hmm. And so it's just kind of interesting thinking about that aspect of what's the mysterious, most deep part of man? Scripture suggests you can see that by our fruit.
Amen. Amen. And we can pick up right there on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession as we're looking at the topic, The Obedience of Faith, Part 2. We'll be right back. Music, the music of Elevation Worship with Grateful. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Continuing to remind you that we are just a few weeks away from our spring share-a-thon, and we're still looking for listeners to call in and share a testimony of how the Lord has reached through American Family Radio, blessed and encouraged you in your walk with the Lord, encouraged you in the discipleship of you and your family, or bless your life. The number to call and share that testimony is 1-877-876-8893. Again, that's 1-877-876-8893. We do hope to hear from you. The words of Psalm 100 tell us these words: make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures to all generations. And, you know, yesterday we looked at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, where we looked at some clear, brief directives God gives to each of us. Amongst others, it says, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. A very important truth I want to impress upon each of us is when you read the Word of God and it tells you to do something, do it. That's an act of faith and obedience. So when it says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, what do? Make a joyful shout. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Take time to do what God says. Another one says, serve the Lord with gladness. It doesn't say serve God with madness or serve God with sadness. It says serve the Lord with gladness. Make yourself glad. Now, if you say, well, I can't just make myself glad, God will not tell you to do something you cannot do. But remember, if he tells you to do it in faith, yes, you can. Just choose to be glad in the way you serve the Lord. It says come before his presence with singing. Take the time to sing praises to God at different times and opportunities. Now, obviously, in the right way, in the right context, Not that you're to shout a song, sing a song at the top of your voice in the middle of work, you know, in a way that maybe disrupts things. But you can quietly sing to the Lord, or maybe just when you're in your vehicle and you shower. But singing to the Lord, if God commands it, there's blessing and obedience. Remember, your obedience is an act of faith. Exodus chapter 3 tells a powerful story of how that God approaches Moses and calls Moses to the work of going and being his vessel to deliver Israel out of Egypt. And so for time reasons, I'm just going to read a short portion of it. But Exodus chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush does not burn. So when the Lord saw that he turned aside to look, God called to him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here I am. Then he said, Do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the oppression of my people who are in Egypt, and I've heard their cry because of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So I've come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them up from that land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Perizzites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites. Now therefore, behold, the cry of the children of Israel has come to me, and I have also seen the oppression with which the Egyptians oppressed them. Come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you, and this shall be a sign to you that I have seen that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Verses 1 through 12, Exodus chapter 3. Now, just in a nutshell, this is a powerful story of where God approaches Moses and lets him know that he's calling him to go and be his instrument to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. Now, Moses was very reluctant. He gave several excuses. Then finally, after his conversation with God, he finally says at one point, God, please get somebody else. And God was, in fact, the scripture points out, God was angry with Moses. Why? Because God knew that if Moses simply said, yes, Lord, that he could easily use Moses to do great and mighty things, which is what happened. God, by the grace of God, Moses did say yes to God, and God used him to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt. God used Moses to give the Israelites in the world the Ten Commandments. God used Moses to write the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, which is right at about 20% of the Bible. Moses, time and time again, said, yes, Lord, and he obeyed God, and God used him to do great, great things. You and I are called to listen to God and say yes to him, whatever he's calling us to do. And as we say yes to God, God will use us to do great things to bless the world. Our obedience of faith is very, very important to the whole wide world. Isaac, for the things that you wanted to share or speak to this or other related issues?
Absolutely. So just to recap, we're looking at faith and walking in obedience and faith. And so real quick, the definition of faith one more time. Faith shows the reality of what we hope for. It is the evidence of things we cannot see. So right there, Moses had a little bit of faith that his power wasn't enough, that he couldn't accomplish something. And he forgot that, you know, God made his mouth. He forgot that God could accomplish through him what God wanted to accomplish. But first off, we need something we can have faith in. Right there, Moses had something that wasn't good to have faith in. So let's look at some things that are good to have faith in. As you can tell, like, Moses really grew in maturity and faith and believed that God could use him more and more as he went, hence how much scripture he was used in to write. But what are some things we can have faith in? First off, God's calling in our own lives. We can look at the promises in scripture. We can look at God's character and see that he is loving. We can have faith that Jesus is the Son of God. We can have faith that in redemption by Jesus's blood, or that we can have redemption by Jesus's blood. We can have faith that God has a better home awaiting us. We can have faith that we're foreigners in a broken land, that we're foreigners in a sinful world. We can have faith in the presence of the Holy Spirit. We can have faith that God empowers us according to his purpose. And we can have faith that God is teaching us to be more like him. We can also have faith that God speaks to us. And we can have faith that what God asks us to do, that it is good. So real quick, I wanted to hop over to a parable in the New Testament. I did not look up exactly where this one is, but we should know it pretty well. So in it, God in the story gives some of his servants so many talents. One is given like one, another is given five, another is given 10, I think. I don't exactly remember how much each is given. But one of them, the one with the least, buries it in the dirt and waits for the master to come back. The other two invest. And usually whenever I hear pastors give sermons on this, I hear them focus on the warning against don't bury your talents. Don't live in fear. Because in the end, the one that gets the most attention is the one that's fearful, and he gets in trouble for it. Don't you know that I'm going to expect more in return? But I think there's a hidden promise in there that we kind of skim over. The other two doubled what they were given. Mm-hmm. There seems to be a promise that what you invest in faith in God's purposes, that it will multiply, mm-hmm. that there isn't a risk of losing anything whenever we go after God.
That's right.
Isn't that so beautiful, though? So as we look at walking in faith, there's a promise there that if Moses had said, God, you made my mouth, you can do whatever you want through my voice, how much more would that have multiplied? And we mm-hmm. can see how much God used, like, okay, so the Israelites running away from Egypt, trying to get across the Red Sea. God asks Moses to do one thing, stretch out your right hand and I will split the Red Sea. We often like to say that Moses split the Red Sea. All that Moses did was stretch out his right hand and God split it. Mm-hmm. Moses did something a little awkward in the face of an enemy chasing after him. Like, what's stretching out my right hand going to do with beating an army? And God says, I'll take care of the rest. And he does. And so how much fruit is multiplied right there in that one little investment?
Well, and you know, again, just a number of great points that you make, Isaac. We're called to hear and obey. And one of the many beautiful sides to obedience is we partner with God. We cooperate with God to get his will done. So, you know, just going back to the whole matter of the amount of scripture Moses wrote, you could say, well, now, who wrote the Pentateuch? Did God write it or did Moses write it? Well, you actually can say both. Now, God inspired it. Moses was the secretary, but God used Moses. So you could say Moses was the author of the Pentateuch. Well, God is the author and Moses is the vessel, but God uses Moses to do it. So Moses is considered the writer of the Pentateuch, inspired by the power and the word of God. We cooperate with God. We live a life where we're vessels through which he accomplishes his purpose. So in the true sense of the word, we can say Moses wrote it and God wrote it. Again, it's all inspired by God, of course, but God uses human vessels who will listen to him and obey him and get his work, help him get his work done.
So before we close out, we're about to run out of time, but I wanted to give us a little heads up because we're making it seem like faith, all rewards. It is not easy. So if we go back to Genesis and look at the curse that man has, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat the food, or you will have food to eat. He says that the ground is cursed and he's got to work the land to be able to have anything grow. And so right there, there's another promise that yes, whenever we work, we will have food to eat. We can apply that spiritually for sure. But that it's effort. It's a lot of work. But it's really important to also recognize that it's really not important who's planting and who's watering because it's God that brings the growth. We have to apply ourselves in effort, but it's God that brings the victory.
We plant and water, and God brings the increase.
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac, and thank you again just for sharing your insights there. Again, we've been looking today at the topic, The Obedience of Faith, Part 2, and to every believer, encouraging you, be a diligent student of Scripture. Remember, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. If you want your faith to grow and develop, get into God's Word every day, but then live what you learn. Live a life of obedience. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you're listening today and you've never invited Jesus Christ to come into your heart to be Lord and Savior of your life, today is a wonderful day, a great day to make that very, very important decision. If you want to give your life to Christ and be saved today, would you, from your heart, pray this prayer with me even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much that you came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all the wrong things I've done. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. You said in your word, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to follow you all my life. Thank you, Lord, for saving me. Help me to read your word every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to obey you and trust you every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we would like to be in touch with you. We'd like to share with you some resource materials that'll help you to begin to really grow strong in your new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. My email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Please get in touch. Definitely would like to get that literature to you. Again, today we've been looking at the topic, The Obedience of Faith, Part 2. Again, if you're not reading His Word every day, today is a wonderful day to start the habit of reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible daily. Parents, having your children read 3 chapters aloud to you daily is a very, very fruitful habit that will bless you and your whole family. Hope you'll do that with each of your children as well. 3 chapters a day will bless you tremendously. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.